A lot of us take heart in seeing scientific research aimed at protecting the lives of animals, but what if it was actually putting them at risk? The Wire's Tom Johnston has the story.
When we hear about research, we usually assume it's being used for the greater good. But a recent essay published by Professor David Lindenmeyer and Dr. Benjamin Scheel suggests that in some cases, poachers are actually using the research to help them locate and capture rare and endangered species, only to be sold online. I spoke to Dr. Scheel earlier today and asked him when this practice began.
This issue has been around for quite a long time, but it's been greatly exacerbated by the advent of the digital era. Previously, much scientific research essentially sat in the basements of institutes like universities, and it was quite difficult to access. But over the last decade to two decades, basically all of that research is now online, and it's quite accessible for people to track down this information and get it at a click of a button.
I suppose on the other side of the coin, it's much easier to sell what they're poaching on the internet as well.
That's definitely a key thing that's happening too with globalization, and as well as mass increases in trade. It's relatively easy to send in the post potentially animals from across one side of the world to the other side.
And so how significant do you reckon the impacts of this are?
It has received a lot of profile. Most illegal actions like trade in drugs and that sort of thing have quite a strong investment from government or from police agencies. The illegal wildlife trade hasn't really been the focus of a lot of these investigations as of yet, although this seems to be changing.
And so what animals are we talking about?
As you can sort of imagine, smaller things are much easier to illegally smuggle. And so there's quite a substantial change in reptiles and amphibians. And then also parrot eggs is quite a substantial one as well.
And so is this a case of the poachers getting smarter or a problem at the publishing end?
So we know that it's been quite difficult to address the demand issue with poaching. And so with high-profile cases, like, say, with rhino horn or elephant horn coming out of Africa, there has been some attempts to try to decrease demand, but they've met with limited success. So we know that as scientists, when we're publishing information, if we can somehow obscure or even potentially completely leave out precise location details from publications, that's the sort of somewhat immediate solution to the problem.
Dr. Benjamin Scheel. Professor Corey Bradshaw is on the same page, noting that not disclosing location details is a tactic some researchers already employ.
I don't think people have translated that necessarily into a publication ethic, although, you know, I cross boundaries myself and do a lot of sort of paleo work, and it is quite a common practice to give a bit of a fuzziness to any locations that might come out or even avoid them altogether in scientific papers for that very reason, so that paleontological digs and archaeological sites aren't disturbed by the public.
And so what do you think the source of the problem is? Is it coming from poachers actually getting smarter in finding this research, or is it something that needs to be worked out on that publishing end?
It's probably a bit of both. I think most researchers would be surprised that any member of the public would read their papers and not just their colleagues. So in that, it's somewhat surprising. But if there's a commercial or vested interest involved, I guess it's not unrealistic to assume that they can be exploited. I mean, it can work both ways, too. In fact, there's some evidence now coming out of southern Africa that poacher activity is actually curtailed somewhat by the public knowing where the poachers are operating. So the poachers don't necessarily want to operate in the places where the tourists go.
And so what work is being done to stop poachers, especially in these sort of smaller cases where animals and eggs are being sent through the mail?
There's an entire international organization called CITES, the Convention on the International Trade of Endangered Species, that's set up exactly for that purpose. Now, if a species, though, isn't listed in any of the sensitive appendices of CITES, it's not necessarily controlled in international trade. So it doesn't really cover any of the domestic trade. So I think having more domestic or national variants of CITES are probably a good idea. And I know some countries certainly do put a lot of emphasis on the trade. Equus in Australia certainly has a strong culture of attempting to stop that sort of trade. And we are probably have some of the highest biosecurity laws in that respect in the world. With increasing pressure, we'll be able to have the legislation meet up with the research. This is a growing problem, and it's likely to get worse before it gets better. And I think just there's more information that's put out there, and the more consciousness raising, I guess, amongst the research community is part of that process.
Professor Corey Bradshaw ending that report from The Wire's Tom Johnston.